whether you're here or whether you're listening at home, and to our friends at Carr's Court. And a very warm welcome to Katie, who's going to be leading our service. There are just three notices. Firstly, the guides are holding a fundraising plant sale on Saturday the 18th of May, and you can only buy plants if you order them in advance. So could you see Angela? And oh, she's out there. She's the guide leader, if you don't know who she is. After the service, if you would like to order any flowers or plants. Now, you don't have to collect them on the day, that's Saturday the 18th. For £2.50, you can have a home delivery. Very modern, very modern. Right, tonight there is a mindful church at 7:30 here. And on Tuesday, it is the second soup lunch in aid of Christian Aid. And it is our church that is running it, providing the soup and serving. Right, next week, Adlington Road.
Is that Dean Road?
Yes, I'll explain that in a minute. Right, Adlington Road is, there is work roads happening. So to get to Dean Road Chapel, which is where the soup lunch is taking place, the way would be Manchester Road and then Dean Road and approach it from that end. So it's at 12 o'clock to 1:30 Tuesday, and it's at Dean Road Chapel. Don't approach it via the station. You may find it's blocked. Right, and on that note, I'll hand over to Katie. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see everyone looking brightened, and there are some little tired faces as well, because some of the beavers and cubs, how much sleep did you get? Yeah, not a lot of sleep they've had. So, but we're going to wake up now because we're going to sing. There are some flags here if anybody would like them, but when the big flags come through, we'll have to put them down. Okay. We're going to sing "Let Us Build a House Where All Are Welcome." You are all welcome here this morning. wonderful singing coming on over here. Thank you. That was lovely. Let's pray. Lord God, you are the source of all love, all peace, all forgiveness and grace, and we praise you. You are our light, our guide, always with us. We thank you that you welcome each and every one of us, loving us more than we can begin to imagine, accepting us just as we are, whilst also calling us to grow in your ways of love, peace, forgiveness and grace. We're sorry for the times when we've lost our patience, when we've not made the best decisions. We're sorry when we've caused hurt. And we thank you that you forgive us and heal us and start and help us to start afresh each and every day. So we gather today because we want to celebrate your love and grow in your love as your children. Accept our prayers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are different seasons and times in the church year. Christmas is one of them, and Easter and Pentecost. And we're in a special season now. Now, before Christmas, we have something called Advent. It's our time of preparing for Christmas. And now we're in a season preparing for Easter, which I think is only just 35 days away, I think. I'm not sure I've got my calculation right. Does anybody know what this time in the church year is called, Luna? Yeah, it's called Lent. And Lent is the time that we remember that Jesus made a very difficult journey. He had a journey to make to a city called Jerusalem. It was difficult, one, because it was a very long journey. And when Jesus was alive, there were no cars or no motorbikes, no buses, no planes to get him anywhere quickly. He had to walk a really long journey. And when he got to one town, the last bit of the journey was 17 miles all uphill through sort of mountainous desert. So he had a really long, difficult journey to make. And at the end of the journey, he had some difficult things to face as well. Going to have just look at a little part of that story today during Lent. But before we do so, a question for you. If you were going to go on a long journey by foot, what would you take with you? Now, my nephew, I'm going to ask you in a minute, my nephew has done Duke of Edinburgh. Now, I don't know if any of you, has anybody of you been doing Duke of Edinburgh? Well, I know he went camping on Dartmoor in Devon with a rucksack so big that I don't think I would have even been able to lift it up, let alone walk with it. What would you take on your journey, and what would be the five most important things? But the other question will be, who would you invite to go with you? If you could invite two people that would be really helpful to take with you, who would it be? Have a chat to the people next to you. What would be the five most important things, and who would you take? can tell me some of the five most important things you would take. What would you take?
Water.
Water? Great.
Food.
So water and food. Great start, yes? A phone, right? Yep, phone. Uh-huh. Yes?
A donkey.
A donkey. Oh. That's a really good idea. That would stop you having to walk and get sore feet, wouldn't it? Yes?
A tent.
A tent, not a bad idea, because if it's a really long journey, you'd need somewhere to stay, yes?
A Bugatti.
A what?
A Bugatti.
What are those? A car, right. That's it. Yeah, right.
Dry clothes,
good. And maybe something to keep them dry in, yes?
A map.
A map, brilliant idea. A map would be a brilliant way, wouldn't it, to work out where you're going on your journey. Have you forgotten? You take your family with you. That's a brilliant idea. Oh, lovely, because they could help, couldn't they? They could help carry all the heavy things, couldn't they? Yeah?
Joshua and Francis.
Right, you take Joshua and Francis, your friends, with you. Lovely choice to take friends with you.
My granddad.
And you take your granddad. Would he be good to keep you company, yes?
A bedroll,
like a mat.
Bedroom.
Oh, take. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's my hearing. Can we have that picture, John? Bear Grylls. Because that's exactly who I would take with me. Really good choice there. You know, if anybody, I'm sorry, Dad, but you know, I'd take Bear Grylls because he'd be brilliant, wouldn't he? You know, if you were going on a journey. And if it's going to be difficult, who better to have with you? Because he can survive in all sorts of situations, couldn't he? Anybody else choose anybody different to take with you on your walk? Would you have Luna? You take your dogs with you. That'd be really nice company as well.
A banana
would be good actually food to have on a journey to keep you going, isn't it? Now, Bear Grylls obviously goes on lots of really difficult journeys, doesn't he? And knows all sorts of ways of lighting fires and cooking things and collecting water overnight. All sorts of skills. I don't know, is he still chief scout, isn't he? And a brilliant example. Now, one of the things that I would take with me on a journey would also be a torch. Now, if you've got it on your phone, you're okay there, aren't you? So take your phone. Torch would be good as a light to shine at night when it was dark. But you know the other thing that Bear Grylls travels with when he goes? He always has a Bible in his rucksack. Always takes a little Bible with him. Because he says that for him, studying, you know, reflecting on the Word of God reminds him that he's not alone. That God is with him. Now, really good to take your friends with you on a journey, because it's good to have encouragement, isn't it? You know, sometimes we might be flagging on a walk, but if you're actually out with the cub pack walking or with the guides walking and you're flagging, there'll be somebody who'll say, come on, we can make it, we can do it, can't they? Somebody who would encourage and support you. And when Jesus made his long journey to Jerusalem, he had 12 friends and possibly others that journeyed with him as well. Now, sometimes I think they asked awkward questions. I'm not always sure they were helpful, but I'm sure it was great for him to have those friends around him as he journeyed. And he didn't take tents with him, I don't think, but he did have some friends to stay with. We don't know all the places that he stayed, but he had three friends, brother and sisters, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we know that every time he went to Jerusalem, by the time they got up the top of the long hill, there was a little village where his friends lived, and he often stayed with them. Good to have friends to encourage us. Good to have friends who will welcome and receive us. Some journeys are really difficult, and some times in life are really difficult too. And about 3,000 years ago, King David, who wrote lots of psalms and prayers in the Bible, wrote these words about a difficult time. Shall we say them together? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me along a safe path. I believe that I shall see the Lord's goodness. Wait for the Lord, trust in him, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. When David writes, it's a little bit all over the place. Sometimes he's talking to God, sometimes he's reassuring himself. But there's a mixture of confidence in what he writes. He knows that God is like a torch, is like a light to guide him. But he knows it's difficult and he has to wait and be patient and ask for help. And he's saying, teach me your ways, lead me along good paths. Don't let me go down the ways which are difficult and which might lead me into trouble. Help me to stay on good paths. Lead me in your ways. And help me to have courage, but I know that you will be with me. We're going to sing another of the psalms that he wrote now. It says, the Lord's my shepherd. And like a shepherd who guides their sheep, the Lord guides us and helps us. It says, and I will trust in you alone. And again, there's the flags here. The larger flags are at the back, so that if you want a larger flag, you can wave it in the space at the back. But as we sing, if you want, you can wave the flags. So we sing, the Lord's my shepherd.
He makes me laugh.
be seated. And you just want to come and pop the flags back down, either at the back or at the front. That's it. Well done. Thank you. Now, on a journey, we have lots of decisions to make. And I'm going to just ask you what food decisions that you might make. So if anybody wants to do this food decision challenge, you want to come and stand here for me? Any of you want to help? Come and stand? Because basically what I'm going to do is ask you to move this side or that side, depending what you see on the board. Joshua and Olivia, I'm afraid it's a repeat. So, what are you going to be most tempted by? And you have to be careful moving so you don't bump into each other. Chocolate or chips? Go to which side it would be. Chocolate or chips? Right. What would it be? Crisps or chocolate? It's almost the same, isn't it? But for some it's different. Crisps or chocolate? So lots of you would, ooh, crisps. Lemonade or chocolate? Oh, lemonade's winning on that one. Right. Who would be tempted most by pasta or pizza?
Pizza.
Oh, almost half and half. We're tempted by different things that we like, aren't we? Different choices that we make. Orange or an apple? Which would you go for, an orange or an apple? Oh, lots preferring apple there. Ice cream or chocolate? Ice cream, definitely a favourite there, isn't it? But you're keeping with your chocolate. Cereal or toast? If you had a choice on camp, cereal or toast, what would you go for? Sometimes difficult to decide, isn't it, which you would want?
I would go for like TV.
Watching TV or playing on the computer?
Yeah. Computer. Because you can watch TV on a computer.
If you can watch TV on a computer. Doing exercise or watching TV? I'm really impressed that so many of you are over here. Because if I'm honest, I would probably be over here. Exercise, and you're in the middle. Yeah, you'd like a bit of both. You know, some of the things we know which is probably the best for us, isn't it? If we had to make a choice which is best for us, you'd probably be doing really well over here, choosing the exercise rather than sitting and watching TV. But you know, that same one of the adults who writes in the Bible, called St. Paul, he said the following words. He's going to have a look at what he says about these choices. Just see if we can. He says, "When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway." And you know, this is St. Paul, who was a really, really important man and a really clever man who led lots of people and told lots of people about Jesus. Sometimes he just says, what am I like? Sometimes I try to do the right things and I mess it up and I do the wrong, and sometimes it goes the other way. He said it's really difficult sometimes, isn't it, to make choices. Right, thank you very much. Would you like to take a seat? But it is difficult sometimes, even for adults, to, you know, not be tempted to do something or to make the right choice. Now, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about today's reading rather than reading it to you. In our story today, Jesus is really sad because so many people have made wrong decisions. The decisions that they've made have led to them hurting others, getting into fights, and upsetting lots of people, and in the end, leading most of them to be unhappy. And he's really sad about the choices that they've made. Now, I'll tell you where he was. On his journey, Jesus had travelled through from the Jordan River through the valley to Jericho. Then he'd climbed those 17 miles up the mountainous desert until he'd reached the top of the hill at Bethany. And at that point on the top, he could look down into the city of Jerusalem, way down below him with a big temple that looked like it was painted in gold when the sun shone on it. And Jesus is at the top of the hill and he's looking down into Jerusalem. And in one part it says he wept. He was so upset thinking about it. Now, a group of people came and said, oh, you mustn't go into Jerusalem, you mustn't go there. King Herod, who's a bad king, is looking for you. And Jesus said, that fox, I'm not going to listen to him. He's not going to stop me doing what I need to do. And when that group of people went away, again, he's looking and he said, I feel like a mother hen wanting to protect her chicks. But the chicks are running all over the place. Have you seen little chicks scuttling around in a farmyard? Or you might have even seen them hatch. Little chicks like to scuttle and scatter all over the place. And Jesus has said, you know, so long I've wanted to protect you like a mother hen. You see the picture of the mother hen here? The mother hen will sometimes, either if there's a fox or a sense of danger, or even if there's a fire, a mother hen would gather all the chicks right underneath and hide them and cover them with her wings to protect them. And Jesus was saying, I've wanted to protect you and keep you safe, but you haven't listened to me and you've gone off all over the place. And he was sad. Now, has anybody ever been to a buffet where you can eat as much as you want? An all-you-can-eat buffet. Or have you been to a party at somebody's house and there's just a table covered with food, covered with cakes and jelly and biscuits and sausage rolls and so much food? And has anybody ever said to you, don't eat too much or you ought to stop now or you'll feel poorly? Yes, yes, you've heard somebody say that. Well, my friend Alfie, who was six, in a party, her mum kept saying, that's it, you've had enough now. Don't have any more chocolates. Don't have any more biscuits because you'll be poorly. What did Alfie do? Yeah, she just kept on eating more. When her mum was looking, had another cake, another biscuit. And what do you think happened? She was sick. Yeah, because she just ate too much. She didn't listen. Because all the food looked so good, she didn't listen to the good advice because the food looked better. Have any of you watched Finding Nemo? Yeah, lots of you Finding Nemo. What was Nemo told not to do? Do you know what he was told not to do right at the beginning of the film? Right at the beginning of the film, what was he told not to do? Yeah, not to go into the really deep water in the ocean, not to go beyond, I think maybe the coral reef, can't remember, but not to go that far because it was dangerous. And what did Nemo do? Yeah, he went that far, didn't he? Because he thought it looked good and exciting and fun and he didn't listen. And poor dad, I think you see Marlon, the dad, yeah? I think poor dad was so upset and so sad because Nemo hadn't listened to him. And because Nemo didn't listen to him, he got lost and he went off. In the end, it was an adventure, wasn't it? And he got rescued and he got brought back home. So it was all okay in the end. But it must have been so frustrating for dad and so upsetting that Nemo hadn't listened to him and had gone off. You know, one of the things that we use a lot of, because it seems good and easy, we use lots of plastic, don't we? Have lots of things that are plastic. And now we know that it's not always that good and the seas, you know, in places get filled with all the plastic. And Prince Charles, whatever you make of Prince Charles, about 20 years ago was saying to people, we mustn't use so much plastic, we must be careful with plastic, plastic is polluting. Nobody listened. And it must have been really frustrating for him, mustn't it, that nobody was listening at that time. Sometimes we do things because it seems good, and we don't always listen to the things that we need to hear. Jesus was sad because people weren't listening to God's ways. And God had sent lots of prophets to tell lots of people, to tell people to live by love and compassion and kindness and grace. And they kept on doing their own thing, even doing things that they thought were really good. But by trying to be good and perfect, they were also excluding and rejecting and judging people. Jesus wanted people to learn to love their neighbour, whatever background or culture, to love their neighbours, to learn how to forgive, to not exclude people or hate people or reject people. He wanted people to learn his ways of love and compassion, peace and grace, forgiveness and reconciliation, treating people fairly with dignity and justice, because he knows that when we do that, it's much better for all of us. We're all happier. St. Paul, who realized that he sometimes messed things up, he said, we're citizens of heaven. We need to try and live in Jesus's ways. So we're going to sing a song that we have sung before at parade, so you might remember the actions. It's from Nicaragua, and it goes like this. It goes, sent by the Lord am I, my hands are ready now to make the earth the place in which God's kingdom comes. The angels, angel wings, cannot change a world of hurt and pain into a world of love, of justice and of peace. The task is mine to do, to set it really free. Help me to obey, help me to do your will. So will you have a go at doing the actions with me? Yeah, should we just have a go at the first bit? Sent by the Lord am I, my hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which God's kingdom comes. The angels cannot change a world of hurt and pain into a world of love, of justice and of peace. The task is mine to do, to set it really free. Help me to do your will. Something along those lines. Right. In which, yes, shall we sing? Shall we stand? Sing again. By the Lord am I, my hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. Sent by the Lord am I, my hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes.
Peace, the task is mine.
the world would be a better place if we all managed to live by Jesus's ways of love and peace and justice, but knowing that it's sometimes hard to make the right decisions, that our ego sometimes gets in the way, that during Lent we try and do different things to help us remember those ways. Some of us in the church are reading a little book of Lent, and we're doing having a discipline of reading something every day to help us reflect. Some of us are looking at silent prayer and practicing meditation, which can also help us make good decisions. Some people give up things to test the muscle of self-discipline, like giving up chocolate or giving up crisps or giving up alcohol. Some people give up things during Lent. And some people like to do something for charity to help others. And we've got here one campaign is encouraging people at Lent to do different things, like a different form of transport or giving up single-use plastics, trying to shop locally. Somebody I know said, right, I'm not going to buy anything new for the whole of Lent. I've got a few friends who have decided again to give up meat, or at least have less, or give up electricity for an hour a day. It's quite a hard one to do with everything being plugged in. But some people are doing challenges that are good for the planet, good for our communities. Has anybody done anything or given up anything for Lent? Is anybody? Yes, what are you doing? You've given up chocolate. Oh, well done. And is it hard? Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I've stopped having nibbles after my evening meal. Oh, I know, first 10 days I was quite good, and then I'm still managing it, but when I get in from an evening meeting, I want food. It's hard, isn't it? You have to really work hard at a Lent discipline, Luna. You've given up sweets as well, so 40 days. It's a big thing to do, isn't it? 40 days with no sweets or no chocolate. Hello, I will help you by saying you're okay on Sundays, because Sundays in Lent are considered to be mini Easters. So on Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday, so on Sunday you're okay. But then it does make it harder to start again the next day. Anybody else given up anything? Yes, Anne? Given up using the computer. Wow, that's a challenge, isn't it, to do? And some people give up things like Facebook or things that they normally do on autopilot, giving up. And it is hard, but what are the things? And a little quick chat between you. If you're going to do something difficult, or if you're going to do your Lent challenge, what are the things that could be helpful for you? Now, what are the sort of things that can really help you to do a difficult challenge? Have a think if there's anything helpful. And any of the younger ones, if at this point, what I'd like you to do, all the chicks have scuttled away. Can you go and find them for me and bring them home? Because they should be. All of these little chicks should be in their basket. So if any of the young people want to go and help find all the chicks and bring them home, that would be brilliant. If you're taking on a hard challenge or a hard journey, what might help you? Oh, well done. I can spot one over there as well. Can you spot one over there? Right, have we got all our chicks back? Nearly, you've just just spotted one over here. There were some of them were hidden for me, so I don't. We might be finding chicks for ages. Brilliant. Thank you very much. That's lovely. Well done. If you'd like to go and have a sit down. So, any thoughts on the things that might help you if you're keeping up a difficult challenge? Any thoughts? No. Yes.
I tell somebody. I share it.
Brilliant. That's it. If you tell somebody, so if you tell your friends and your family you've given up chocolate, hopefully they'll help you by not keeping offering it to you. So if you've told somebody and they're a good friend and they're a good support, they will help you. They won't keep offering you sweets, Luna, and they'll help you, won't they? So tell somebody. That's a brilliant one. Another thing that might be good would be to do something together. You know, one of the things, chicks running off all on their own, doing something on your own is quite difficult, but if you decide to do something together, you can help each other, because we're stronger when we're together and when we work together. And one of the things, you know, Jesus, when he was on his difficult journey during Lent, he would go and have some time on his own, to go and have some time to pray, and perhaps some time in quiet. And those of us who've been journeying through silent prayer in Lent realise that, you know, that when we go and have some time in meditation or some time in silence, just sometimes stopping and being still, we help to realise what the answers to some of the difficult challenges might be. We're going to sing again, and at this point, or in it, I'll give the sort of the leaders some activities for the children that you might want to do. We've got some scratch cards with some crosses. And the cross is the symbol for us of God's love. You can imagine like the arms outstretched for a hug. And, you know, Jesus journeying towards the cross in Lent was his way of showing us amazing love. So there are crosses to decorate. And there are also some dot patterns of crosses and palm leaves and things we associate with. And you just have to choose colour dots to put on the blank dots, and you can decorate it as you wish. But we're going to sing a song, Put Peace Into Each Other's Hands. The sign language for peace is this. It's a nice sign, peace. So you might want to put peace into each other's hands. We sing.
Thank you.
cheated. Hopefully you've all got a different activity to do quietly now during our prayers. There's also some, for any under fives, there's some colouring sheets and sticking things on the back table as well. Going to come to our prayers, and there's a response on the screen at the bottom. God, our light and our salvation, when life is a struggle and the way ahead is hard, we seek your help and strength. The response that we'll keep coming back to is, hear our prayer, loving God, we put our hope in you. Loving God, we pray today for the people of New Zealand. We pray for all who are struggling with loss, for all those affected. We also continue to pray for our friends of Cheadle Mosque, that all people may have the freedom to worship without fear, from whatever tradition. We thank you for the good relationships that we have developed locally. And we pray that we will continue to break down any barriers of fear or prejudice that we may encounter. Hear our prayer, loving God. We put our hope in you. We pray for all those campaigning for justice in places where there is lack of freedom. We pray for all those working with refugees abroad and at home. We pray for all the NGOs bringing medical relief, the care of children. We pray that people may be able to build new lives in places of safety, of love and welcome. Hear our prayer, loving God. We put our hope in you. We pray for our nation going through a difficult time politically. We pray that we will continue to manage to speak in grace with one another, to hear people's different views and still maintain a bond of love and friendship and fellowship. May our speech be seasoned with grace and love. Hear our prayer, loving God. We put our hope in you. We pray for our young people. And we give thanks for the work of Wilmslow Youth, and we give thanks for our uniformed leaders here and all that they do to support our young people. We pray that support may be in place where it is needed. Hear our prayer, loving God. We put our hope in you. We pray for those for whom life is a struggle, overwhelmed with anxiety, uncertainty or stress in the face of difficult decisions and just the everyday challenges of life. We pray that we might know how to support one another in our community. Bring peace, we pray. Hear our prayer, loving God. We put our hope in you. We pray for those who are unwell, asking that your healing hand may be upon them. We pray too for all who are grieving, that they might know your comfort and love at this time. Loving God, we put our hope in you. Help us to make wise choices. Help us to place our trust in you each day and to seek to follow your ways. We thank you for your mothering love, your desire to protect us, that we might know joy in all its fullness. Help us to stay close to your word and guide us each day. We thank you for the fellowship we share here and the support and the strength that we can give each other. Hear our prayer, loving God. We put our hope in you. And on this next slide, John, some final words. In our journeying through Lent, grant us wisdom and courage to be beacons of your light and love, sharers of your grace and peace. Holy God, holy and strong, hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stay joined together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. The words will be on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our offering will now be received for the work of God's kingdom. A chance to continue working, or time for your own quiet prayers as our offering is received. Lovely, aren't they? Oh, that's beautiful. Well, no, you can make patterns all of your own choice, can't you? They're all individual. Oh, I like those. That's lovely. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Are you doing one of the cards? Oh, that's really lovely. You could even write your name on it as well.
I don't have enough space.
Right, well, I guess you could maybe do it there. C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y. But it's up to you. You can just do any patterns you like, can't you? So we stand as the offering is brought forward. Do you want to come and stand? Just here, just to stand along the front. That's it, that's it. There, do you want to maybe look this way? You look to me, look to me. That's it, and then I can take those from you. Thank you very much. I'll take the lighter ones first. Robert, do you want to wait there a moment? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your deep love for each one of us. We thank you for teaching us and guiding us in your ways. We ask that you will receive these gifts, that they might be used in the work of your love, peace and justice in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to sing our final hymn. Just to say before, as we leave today, there are some flyers about an Easter extravaganza, an afternoon of all sorts of Easter activities in about 2 weeks' time. From heaven you came, helpless babe, we're going to sing, and we can use the flags again, the large ones at the back. Because we've got some final words on the screen, I should have thought, with flags. Let's see if we can share in these words. God is our light, our hope, our all in all. Blessed be God, now and forever. Christ is our home, our life, our joy. Blessed be God, now and forever. Our worship concludes, our service continues. Blessed be God, now and forever. Thank you for joining us this morning, and a special thank you to all the the leaders who've been here for 24 hours, may you have a lovely nap this afternoon. But go in love, go in peace, go with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.